going to be one of those, some days I do a good job and some days I am all over my notes, so we're all find out. You would open your Bibles up to Psalms 28. Psalm 28. Psalm 28, beginning verse 1. Unto thee will I cry, O Lord, my rock. Be not silent to me, lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit. Hear the voice of my supplications when I cry unto thee, when I lift up my hands toward the holy oracle. Draw me not away with the wicked and with the workers of iniquity, which speak peace unto their neighbors, but mischief is in their hearts. Give them according to their deeds and according to the wickedness of their endeavors. Give them after the work of their hands, render to them their desert. Because they regard not the works of the Lord, nor the operation of his hands, he shall destroy them and not build them up. Blessed be the Lord, because he hath heard the voice of my supplications. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusteth in him, and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song will I praise him. The Lord is their strength, and he is the saving strength of his anointed. Save thy people, and bless thine inheritance. Feed them also, and lift them up forever. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll dive in today. Father, thank you for the opportunity to be here. Thank you for those who were able to attend. I ask, Father, for all those who are on the prayer list or mentioned for prayer today, that you would, in each and every instance, Father, that you'd heal, that you'd raise up, that you'd encourage, Father. And Father, we just ask that you, I ask that you'd use me as an instrument in your hands, Father, that you would use me to help someone today, to edify them, to comfort them, Father. And Father, I just ask that you keep me focused and on task. Use me as an instrument in your hands, Father, if you would. And Father, we just ask for forgiveness of our sins. Watch over us and care for us, Father. And we ask these things in Christ's name and for his sake. And amen. Amen. My title today is Man's Frailty in Christ's Strength. Man's Frailty in Christ's Strength. You know, we plan and we scheme and we plot to have our way, and yet what does it bring us? I could sit here and tell you that tomorrow morning I'm going to go do something. Spray weeds. I plan to spray weeds tomorrow. It's supposed to be pretty. The fact of the matter is, I may not get up tomorrow. We're not guaranteed the next breath in our lungs, but we plan like we're going to live forever. I am brought to mind that the fellow in the New Testament that said he had so much that he was going to tear down all his old barns and build newer and bigger and better barns to store his goods. And what did the Lord say? He said, thou fool, tonight thy soul will be required of thee. We don't know, beloved, what the day will bring, and it often brings our plans to naught. We don't know what there is in tomorrow. We only know that the Lord is there. I saw this on Facebook, and you know everything you see on Facebook is true. But there was a fellow, he said he was very ill, about to pass away, and he asked the doctor, he said, how do I deal with this? And the doctor said, and about that time they opened up a door, and a dog came running in the room, just a wagging his tail and carrying on. It was the doctor's little doggy. And the doctor said, you see that dog? He said, yes. He said, that dog doesn't know anything about what's going on in this room except that I'm here. He said, and I know that when I die, I will go to be with my God wherever he's at. I don't know what it will be like. I don't know when it will be. But I know that my master will be there. You know, we cry for freedom. And I want you to think about when I'm talking about freedom here. I want you to think about freedom. We say that we are free. Our nation was based on it was established on the idea of personal freedom and responsibility. In other words, and I'm going to chase this rabbit for just a second. I'll come back, I promise. You are not free unless you are free to fail. I want you to think about what I'm saying for a minute. You are not truly free unless you are free to fail. We've done turned into a holy roller church. She's just having because she's got mommy. Beloved, the fact is that we're not free and we never can be. We're always going to be chained to our nature. We're always going to be chained to our nature, whatever that nature is. Matthew 6:27 says, "Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature?" If you think you're free today, if you think that you're truly free, I defy you. Fly around this room. We're not free. We're bound by what we are. And I don't mean get on your broomstick. I mean actually fly. Beloved, we are downtrodden. We are vile. We are wretched. We are the offscouring of all things whenever we are saved. You see, it takes a change in our nature to seek after God. We're so frail, we're so undone, that we're dead in trespass and sin. It takes a change in our nature to seek after God. Being dead in sin, we are a slave to sin before we're saved. You'll be bound to something all your life. People say, "Well, I'm free. I can do whatever I want." You're not free. Not truly. You're bound to your nature. Before you're saved, your nature is sinful. After you're saved, and here's where people, and I talked a little bit about that this morning. There are hundreds of thousands, possibly millions of people that have been baptized into hell because someone asked them if they believed in Jesus. And they said, "Stick up your hand and say this little prayer after me. Congratulations, you're saved." They're going to hell. They don't have anything. There's no repentance. It takes an act of God to ring, and I say ring, not brain, ring repentance out of you, to bring it out. It's a gift of God. Repentance, if you stop and think about it, repentance is a gift of God. It's not in you naturally to repent of anything. The only thing I've ever repented of is smacking Helen Ray.
Was that before or after she got cast out?
Yeah. Yeah, well.
No. Helen Ray, revenge is mine, right?
Because she smacks back. No, I wouldn't. No, in all honesty, beloved, in all sincereness, it takes an outside influence to act on us, to bring us to God. Otherwise, we'll never come to God. The natural man doesn't want anything to do with God. Have you ever tried to witness to someone and you knew the Spirit wasn't in it? I mean, literally, it's like trying to talk to a piece of paper. You just don't get anywhere. And you can tell, you can feel, this ain't going anywhere. I just said, "Well, shut up while I'm ahead and go waste my breath on something else." I talked to a young lady one time. Bless her heart, she listened to every word I said. And I said, "Do you think that you need to be saved?" She said, "Yeah, I do." I said, "Have you thought about asking the Lord? Would you consider asking the Lord to save you?" She said, "Well, I might this evening." To my knowledge, she's still lost. Being made alive, our new nature seeks after God just as surely as the old one shunned Him. And this is something that we can draw comfort from. Being quickened, we must ask for salvation. Our new nature demands it. We cannot escape it. And with salvation comes comfort. You see, you can't kill a Christian. You can just change his address. Death is a terror to someone that's not saved. And I've seen people go to insane lengths to prolong their life. But for the Christian, death is a doorway. It's going home. How many times have you felt yourself, have you caught yourself longing for some place that home here just didn't satisfy? You know, I will pick at Brother Dale and Sister Donna for a minute because they're there and I can. They get on them big boats and they ride around and they have a good time and, you know, they don't worry about us back here. Never, we never cross their minds. But here's something to think about, beloved. Don't it feel good when you get home? It feels great when you get home. You put your head on your own pillow. There's no place quite like home. Well, beloved, there's a homecoming coming for all of us. Not whenever we leave here today and go to our respective houses. There is a homecoming coming for us. We will have our time whenever we will stand and face the Lord Jesus Christ. We will be at home. Paul said he was in a strait. He knew it was good for him to be here, but he wanted to be there. He said, "It's good for you that I remain here. Nevertheless, I want to go home." At the end, he said, "My race is run. My time is up." I can't quote it exactly, but he acknowledged, you know, my time is up. My race is won. Run. My uncle, when he passed away, bless his heart, the night before he passed away, he said, "I think the Master's calling." What can you say to that? Switching gears just a little bit, there's something to consider here. We can't even exist outside of God. Acts, and I'm going to read a fairly long passage from Acts 17. It's verses 24 through 29. It says, "God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. And hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not very far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain of your also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's device." Think about verse 28 of Acts 17. "For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also of his offspring." In him we live and move and have our being. You cannot go someplace where there is no God. You can't go someplace. If you go dig a hole and jump in a hole, God's in the hole, and God is at the bottom of the hole. He's been there, and he has not been waiting for you to show up. He didn't. God is everywhere all the time at the same time. We literally exist inside of God. We are the created. He's the creator. And beloved, something that a lot of people don't like is that he can do with his creation as he wishes. People don't like that. Too many people place themselves above God. I want. Earlier I was asked, if we believe in predestination and such, why do we pray? I say that we pray to get ourselves, our wills, in line with God's will. You see, it's not, well, what did Jesus say in the garden? "I pray this cup be taken from me." This is the Mikey version. "I pray this cup be taken from me. Nevertheless," this is the accurate part, Not my will, but thine. Do you today want your will to be in line with God's will? I can tell you things go a lot easier and a lot better whenever your will is in line with God's will. But I'm also going to tell you that it is hard to get and keep your will in line with God's will. Why? Because I want to sin. I see things that I want to consume in my lust. I see things that I desire. I'm selfish. I'm a sinner by nature. And I have to mortify that every single solitary day. Not just once in a while, I've got to stomp it out every single day. The proper order, beloved, the way things work best, is if you put God at the center of everything, put everybody else around God, and then put yourself on the outside. If you do that, you'll have the most satisfactory living arrangement. Place God at the center. Place others' needs ahead of yours. Place your needs last. Say, Mike, that doesn't do very much for my needs. It does a whole lot for your needs. Because if your neighbor puts God first, and others last, or others next and themselves last, they're going to consider whose needs? Your needs. I'm talking about the bonds of Christian love here, if you stop and think about it. The Bible says, let every man esteem others better than himself. One way that man places himself above God is in free will salvation. And I want you to think about this. Free will salvation, Arminianism, makes God powerless over the will of the individual. And I've gone around and around and around and around and around with people about this. I can't say I've won. I can't even say if the Lord has changed their minds. But I know that I'll stand for the truth, if nothing else. And that is, the Bible said, who hath resisted his will? So for you to tell me that you can resist God's will is a lie, isn't it? It's just that simple. I saw a man said and say that the will of God was sovereign over everything except the will of man. I've seen that. I've seen that said. I heard that said with my own two ears. I'll call him out on it. That, I'm sorry, that's a blasphemy. My will is not sovereign over God. God, if my will was sovereign over God, I would never be in church to start with. I'd be out riding my bicycle whenever I was younger. If my will was sovereign over God, I wouldn't be preaching today because you've heard me say it before. I love you all, but it crowds of people and me. I'm perfectly happy on my little tractor by myself. Nevertheless, I was told to go preach, and as Brother Tommy Boggs said, if you're called to preach, you'll do or you'll die. And I don't want to die. Not disobediently, anyway. We must be aware, beloved. And I know these notes are scattered, but they're all driving at the same thing. We must be aware that God acts through us to impact others. I want you to think about what I'm saying. If you see someone that's hungry, is it enough to say, well, I'll pray for you, or should you feed them? In feeding them, you've done the work of God. You have quite literally been an instrument in God's hands. You have fed someone that needed fed. If you see someone, and this is why I despise junk for Jesus. If you see someone that needs a coat, should you sell them a coat if you have a spare one, or should you give them a coat? Give them a coat. It goes on and on and on in our lives. We need to look at the lives of our brothers and sisters around us and see what they want and what they need. And we need to try and fill those gaps, those roles, as much as we can. God acts through people. We need to know how to be abased ourselves. Philippians 4:12 and 13 says, I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound everywhere and in all things. I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And that's what I've been trying to drive at today, is try to give you a picture of how frail we actually are physically and spiritually. I know that the examples I've given have been all over the map. I studied the Don Bean School of Theology. But, you know, we often find ourselves abased if we're in Christ. You know, I've been poor and I've been po. I've been so poor I couldn't afford the whole word. Your baloney. You ever been so poor your baloney had no first name?
Yeah.
Okay. We also find ourselves blessed beyond count going to the Lord's work. I can tell you all, I have, winter time for us is a hard times. The calves are sold in the fall, all the bills are paid, then comes that long slog until spring again where you got to get to the woods, and it's muddy and it's snowy and it's wet and nothing goes right. Kind of like summer, except it's not hot. The thing is, I have not lacked since I've been doing what the Lord told me to do. There have been times it's been close. There have been times I've wondered how in the world it was going to work out. But I've been taken care of. If you have faith in the Lord, you'll be taken care of. It may not come the way you want it to come. It may not come the way you expect it to come. But have faith and hold on. It'll come. It always comes. What I have here is it's not on us to improve our situation any time. It's Christ who gives us our food, clothing, housing. He gives us our job, our education. He gives us the very life and health that we have. Our next heartbeat comes from the very permission of the Almighty. It's His strength that supplies our every need. The very world is held together by the will of God. There are people that believe that God made everything and just kind of let it snowball and do its thing. I can't remember. I think theism is the word for it. No. God is intimately in control, in charge, and in the know about His creation. If you're here today and you're saved, He knows your situation. He knows what you're going through. He knows. And in the person of Christ, because we have a Redeemer that was human, He cares. Are you sorrowful today? Christ was sorrowful. He understands. You can take it to Him. You can tell Him, I'm sorrowful today. I feel bad today. You can say, Lord, I'm hurting today. I've got this problem and I don't know what to do with it. I'm trying to put it in your hands and I just keep it. Have you ever noticed we take our problems to God and then we pack them up in a box and bring them back with us?
And more.
We're not to do that. Or what's the Bible say? To give them to Him. Give your problem to the Lord as best you can. Say, Lord, I have to leave this at Your feet because I can't manage it. He'll manage it. It may not be the way you want it managed. It may not be the outcome that you desire, but He will manage it. He will make it better. Salvation, beloved, I want you to think about this in the scheme of power. The salvation of the worst person in this world is not beyond His ability. The absolute, think of the worst human being you know outside of yourself. God can save them. Is he not we that enables us to stand in the face of persecution? Have you ever been laughed at for what you believe? You've been mocked? I'm going to pick on Brother Drake for a minute because you're going to college and I know the heat is on, isn't it, brother? Yeah. Pressure's there. You believe in that stuff? What are you? From the Middle Ages? How can you believe that? That's all superstition. It goes on and on. The pressure's on me. I've had people laugh at what I believe. See, I said to you, the world was made in 6 literal days. Well, science says, I don't care what you said science says, the Bible says the world was made in 6 literal days. And if it says it was made in 6 literal days, it was made in 6 literal days. And that's, well, you explain how it happened then. I ain't got a clue. Fat boy was not on the scene. He doesn't know. But God knows. Beloved, what I've been trying to drive at today, and like I said, I know my examples have been all over the map. This is one of those that whenever I got it, I scratched my head and said, are you sure about that? And God said, yes, I am sure. This is what I have. But what I've been trying to drive at is just exactly how strong God is. You know, we're weak and undone. We can't exist without God. God exists just fine without us. There are people that take this attitude that God somehow needs our worship. God doesn't need anything. He's worthy to be worshipped. There are people that take the attitude that God needs our love. God doesn't need anything from us. He's worthy to be loved. I could go on and on and on, but you understand what I'm saying. Try and be mindful, if you can, of just what our place is in creation and just where our strength comes from. You see, like I said, without God, we're nothing. We have nothing, and we're not able to do anything. If you stop and think about it, outside of God, there's no existence. I'm going to close with this, and this is something that, and possibly Brother Don can one of these days educate me, because I've never quite understood the devil when he said, I will be like the Most High. Because he can't be like the Most High. The Most High is God, and only God has the power to create. The devil doesn't have that kind of power, never had, never will. Beloved, remember where your strength comes from. And I want to close with that. Brother Don, if you would come.